Today's daf is daf vav, and we are holding on daf yomid beis at the two dots. Omar Shmuel. B'kiddushin. When it comes to elements of kiddushin, natan la kesev v'shava kesev v'yomar la hareyat mekudeshet, hareyat mureset, hareyat le'intu, harezu mekudeshet. So if someone gives money and says to a woman, you are mekudeshet or mureset or you are a wife, and notice that none of these cases does he say my wife, mekudeshet to me. And then he leaves out the word me. It's perfectly okay, and that's a good kiddushin. On the other hand, if he says, Harini Isheikh, I am your husband, Harini Baalech, Harini Arusech, Inkan Beit Michush, there's nothing to even think about. And she doesn't even need a get, there's not even a suffix kiddushin, there's nothing, because basically he's not taking a wife, he's making himself his husband, and that's not what Kiyikach Yishisha means, is to take a wife. Same thing is true in the inverse, V'chein Begerushin. Natan la v'amar la, gives it a get, he says, Hareyat Mishulachat, Hareyat Megureshet, Hareyat Muteret, all of these are Lashonot of Hareyat Muteret Choladam, Harezu Megureshet. But if he takes himself away from her, as opposed to her away from him, and he says, I am no longer your husband, any Sheikh, any Baalech, any Arusech, none of those are Lashonot of Gerushin, and Inkan Beit Michush. I'm like, with Papa Labai, this is interesting, because if he left out the word li, so in other words, and it's still good. So that seems to say, you're telling me that according to Shmuel, we don't have to have a lashon that means precisely legally what it's meant to say. We can utilize an inference, a contextual sense of what the words are supposed to mean, that if a person says, you are a wife, he doesn't mean you are a wife to the janitor, he means you are a wife to me, and that he's trying to make a condition. So, the problem is, I mean, I could accept that. The problem is that we have a Mishnah about which Shmuel said just the opposite. Because what's none? Omer Ahe. I mean, he's a Nazir. When somebody says, I am, so then he's a Nazir. And we asked, what do you mean, I am? I mean, I am could mean, I am in a state of Ta'anit. So, I mean, I'm a Dilma Ahe Ta'anit, comma. So Shmuel said over there, well, the only way that that would work is if at the time that he said, Ahe, there was a Nazir that was walking right in front of him. So, in other words, the only reason that that's considered to be a binding language is because it was indubitably a Nazirus. In other words, there was somebody right there, and he says, I am looking at this guy referring to wanting to be like that person. So, in other words, Allah Haki, but if not for the fact that I can prove it contextually, so then not. Now, come over here. We can't prove it contextually. Maybe he's making a shliach of somebody else. Arayan Makudesha, to my friend Joe, who asked me to present the condition to you. You certainly can't say it's 100% clear. This person says, hey. And the truth is, I mean, that's despite the fact you shouldn't say, well, over there, I mean, it doesn't mean anything, because it could equally mean Ta'anit or Nazir. That's not true. Because, as the Rishonim explained, to say Ahei b'Ta'anit doesn't really make sense, because you can only be a Ta'anit tomorrow. You can't make yourself a Ta'anit in the middle of the day. So, therefore, it's far more mashma that he's talking about something that is going to happen now. Ahei. The only thing that we say, I am in a state of, Yes. The only thing you say, I'm in a state of, is Naziris. I'm in a state of Tani, because that only happens the next day. That would be an acceptance of the fact that I will make myself a netter now that I'm being a Tani, but it doesn't start now. Because the Tani, this is a speed. They have the day Tani, the middle arbitrary point. Nonetheless, Shmuel says over there that it's not considered to be a proper Nazirut, apparently because it's Yadayim Sheinu Mochichot, Yadayim Sheinu Mochichot, Lo Havin Yadayim. Remember that Yadayim means a handle, to hold on to something. So we hold on to the entire kli just by lifting it up by the edge. So language is meant to be held by the edges also. But apparently Shmuel doesn't hold it. So how come over here he does hold it? Says the Gemara, Mayaskinan, you're right. It must be that the case over here is that the guy did say li. He didn't say Aram Kodesh, it's just that Shmuel wasn't interested in focusing on the word li or not. That wasn't the point. The point was he was trying to show the difference between making a woman your wife and making yourself her husband, or being Megarish a woman, or being Megarish yourself from her. That's his focus. I mean, the li wasn't the point. And throw in li. Let's talk about he said li. What's the Kiddush? Yochi Maika Mashba. Saying what? The man says Aram Kodesh at li, it's a kosher Kiddush. I mean, it shows up. That's not a kosher Kiddush, what is? It's the thing when that's. The Kamashma was Hani Lishay Batrai Kamashma. Obviously, the first part was the contrast. That's all. It was contrast. He was saying, if you say Aram Kodeshet Li, so then that's good. But if you say I am your Baal, that's not good. That's what he's trying to say. Obviously, no Kiddush should say Aram Kodeshet Li is good. And the reason is because Hokha Ktiv Ki Yikach. Here it's talking about that he is the one that has to take a woman. Not that he has to make it that he was mekiach himself. There's no meaning. Ki yikach isha. So what would it mean? Ki yakiach et atzmo le'isha. No, it's construct, not grammatical construct and not kedushin construct. And therefore, by saying, I am your husband, he's not talking about kedushin b'chlal. Same thing is true about the gerushin. Ha'cha k'tiv v'shilcha v'loshi shalach et atzmo. I am sending myself away from you. That's not gerushin. Gerushin is I'm sending you away from me. And that was the entire focus of Shmuel. Shmuel wasn't even thinking about yadayim mochichot, alam mochichot. That's not what he was interested in conveying to you. Tadar Rabbanan. Hareyat ishti. Hareyat arusati. Hareyat knuyali. Now, if he uses these different languages, you are hereby my wife. You are hereby my betrothed. You are hereby my possession. All of these Oshanas are kedushin, as we've seen. Hareyat sheli, you are mine. Hareyat brishuti, you are in my possession. Hareyat zikukali. Now, the word zikuka, we know from the sugya of Yevamot, that zikuka also is a lotion of a kedushin. It's been held over, it's true for the original husband. But that's zika, zikuka liyibum. So we say, Hareyat zikukali, that's also a lotion of an existing relationship of ishut. And therefore, it's also mikudeshet. So why did you have three cases and another three cases? Why didn't you say six cases? I didn't say these lashons. We interrupt the word mekudeshet. V'litaninu kulu kechodah. Why not say it all in one grouping? No, because the Tana, remember that the Tana normally is not Rabbeinu or Kadosh, that he's putting things together in his own formulation. Normally a Tana says over things that he's been taught. The truth is that the function of a Tana was as a language repository. It was very similar to the way we would use a computer bank. So he's saying over Baal Peh the things in the language that he heard it and in the format that he heard it. And since these two sets of things he learned at different times, he said them as he learned them. And he's always, the point of Tarshish Baal Peh was meant to be exceedingly accurate to allow for analysis to be done 500 years later if necessary, so that there shouldn't be any loose and non-literal translations of ideas. We need to have the original text, except it's verbal text. It's not written text. It's Tarshish Baal Peh. So therefore, Tana Talat Talat Sham Inu, the Tana originally heard this in two groups of three, Vigarsinu, and was Koveya that in his gears to say it over in that fashion. Okay, now you've opened up the door to various synonyms for Kedushin. How about if we take words, and we take words as they appear in a Pasuk. So all words from the Pasuk. So let's say a guy says, Hareyat miyuchedetli. Now the Torah says, Vayula basar echad. Miyuchedet means you are singularly mine, which has a double meaning of making us one thing, right? Is that good? Or how about if he says, miyuedetli? Now we know the lashon of a man who buys an Amma Ivriya and then decides to marry her, the word for that process is yi'ud. V'im lo ya'ada. Right? So it's yi'ud. That means yi'ud is a way in which you set something aside for purposes of ishut. Can you use that as the initial creation of kedusha? So I read mi'u'edetli. How about that? Would that be good? How about if you take the pasuk that says, eselo ezer kenegdo. So the helpmate. How about if somebody says, you are my helpmate? Ezratima. What would be the din over there? How about if he takes the other half? Ezer kenegdo. The woman is always the one that's taking the other position. You know, says, you know, you are hereby my antagonist. But since the Torah refers to women in that fashion, maybe that's a good lotion. Or how about atzurati? Now here, this is interesting because every word that we've seen so far is a word that came out of the Torah, right? I mean, take a look at the next word. Tzala'ati. My tzela is my rib. I mean, that's obviously taken straight out of the story of creation, right? Or sigurati. That also is taken from the pasuk. It says, Vayizgor basar tachtena. God then took out the tzela, and then he closed up the flesh where the tzela had been. So he is saying, you are that missing rib. That's basically what he's saying, sigurati. So he's referring to a pasuk. And tachti. Tachti also. Basar tachtena. See, it's all taken straight out of the pasuk, okay? All of a sudden, in the middle, we have this lotion of atzurati. Now, where the heck do we get atzurati that has anything to do with a woman? Rashi says atzurati is a lotion of shmini atzeret. So what it means is gathered into me. Brought into my home. It's like atzeret is a gathering, right? Shmini atzeret. That's a gathering. So Tosu says, that doesn't make sense, really. Atzurati should be a type of language that we find associated with women. And indeed, Tosfos brings from his Rabbein, that remain unnamed here, we don't know exactly which Bala Tosfos was saying this, but he says that I was taught that this is a Lashon that is also based on a Pasuk, and the Pasuk refers to the case where David HaMelech was running away, trying to escape Shaul, and he's with a group of guys. They come in and they're desperate for food because they had run out without any supplies. And they come to Achimelech, who's the Kohen Gadol, and they ask him for food. So he says, well, the only food that we have is the actual Lechem Aponim. But the Lechem Aponim is usher if you're tummy. So if the boys are not Bali Keri, then okay, you know. But I mean, they're married kids. I don't know. I mean, why should we allow them to eat the Lechem Aponim? So they say, the boys all say, Isha Atzura Lano. But the simple meaning of that pasuk is that we have not been sleeping with a woman, and therefore you can give us the lechem aponim. And yet his rabbeim associated with that pasuk, isha atzura, we see that in terms of ishut, we call that atzura. So Tosfos himself also, I don't understand, because the pasuk certainly seems to be saying the opposite. Atzura means prevented from us. So the re says maybe it means like this: isha, the isha, which is atzura lanu. From before, that's from before. Isha atzura lanu, but we have a woman in our own place. But we're not tamei now. Right now we're torah. That's a little bit of a push. But anyway, we certainly see the language of atzeret used in terms of relating to women. Okay, so that's how Tosfos prefers that, because after all, it's the whole set of language that we have over here. It's not just kind of vague reference to having a connection to a woman, but it's specifically mentioned in the Torah in that fashion. So how about the other Lashon? Now we have some new Lashonas over here. Tefusati. Now, tefusati, that's also a strange one. Tefusati means the woman that I grabbed. But the truth is, there is indeed a reference to such a thing in the Torah, which the Re points out, the Re HaZaken over here points out. And that is Vihi Lo Nitfasa. So Vihi Lo Nitfasa, even though that's referring to a case of rape, right? So but nonetheless, it's a way of taking a woman. Maybe not the preferred way. But nonetheless, when I say, you are my tefusati, in other words, I got you. I have grabbed you. So, but it's clearly in the language of taking a woman specifically. Lekuchati, that for sure, that's ki kaki shisha. So what is the din about all of the above? Well, says the Gemara, we don't have clear-cut proof for all of the cases, but we do for one of the above cases. Pshot miyachoda, we can at least understand one of these cases. The Tanya ha'omer lekuchati, harezi mikudesha. Someone who says, you are my lekucha, that is considered to be a proper condition. Mishum sheneemar ki yikach ish isha. So that's clearly a takeoff on the word that's used for condition in the Torah, and therefore should not be a problem. Iboilu, charufati mahu. How about if you use the word charufa? Now, charufa, we know that word appears in conjunction with ishut in the story of shifcha necherefet leish. Now, there's a machlokus over there. What exactly is the meaning of shifcha necherefet leish? So one man, the Omar says, shifcha necherefet leish, means that this is a woman who had, there were two partners owned her. One of them had been meshachrer her, and therefore she's a chatzi bat chorin. And that chatzi bat chorin now, she goes ahead and she gets married to an Eved Ivri as the shifcha. So now she's sort of half married, because half of her is capable of being married. In which case, the necherefet leish would mean dafka, where she's really mu'reset. So necherefet means mu'reset, according to this. So what would be the lashon over there? That's what we thought. Tashma, well, I'll bring you a raya. I got to say that when I thought we were coming to Selwyn, that we would at least see Selwyn smile during the daf for once. Like I was really looking forward to this. But it's not enough. So what's the din? Tashma. Titanya Omer Charufati Mikudeshet, very strange riser. Somebody says to a woman, Areyat Charufati, that's a valid kiddushin, Shekein Biyuda Korin La Rusa Charufa. Because, you know, in Yehuda, they generally refer to an Arusa with a slang called Charufa. So who the heck cares how they talk about somebody in Yehuda? What, Yehuda have a Ruba the Alma? What are you saying? What's the 50% of the world who lives in Yehuda, is that what you're saying? I mean, they're going to define language for me? No, of course not. Achikama. Must mean like this. Ha'omer charufati mikudesha, shenemar v'hi shivcha necherefet le'ish. And besides that, you know, an interesting point is that b'Yehuda korin la'arusa charufa. They actually use that word as the standard reference to an arusa. So what? The Yehuda, the Ode, Likra, I understand. You bring up Pasuk. You say it's valid because of Lashon of Pasuk. And then you say, oh, and in Yehuda, which is totally irrelevant. I mean, we just tried proving it from Yehuda, and I got left out of the house with Yehuda's Rubin the Alma. So why are you bringing in something that is just a confusing statement? I'm not interested in it. This is not the Reader's Digest, where you're telling me, oh, yes, it's very cute. In Yehuda, they actually do that. Who cares? Hell, okay, you're right. That can't be the explanation. The only explanation, therefore, must be the opposite. Indeed, Harufa does not mean, as we thought it meant, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, that a woman who is Mikudeshet, so it's a lotion of Kiddushin, rather, we're going according to the Mandi Omar, that really she, it does not have any kind of Kiddushin. So there would be no Kiddushin that would be Teifes. So Yod is talking about a Shivcha Knanit, which is the opposite approach to Necharefet. And therefore, it's not because of Shivcha Necharefet that we're using it, but rather, this is the correct way to understand it. If you are living in Yehuda, and in Yehuda you use the word that they use for Kiddusha, and Arusa is Harufa, so then it would be Mekudesha. She came to Yehuda, Korin La Arusa Harufa. Okay. Now, can I just ask you something? All of these languages, you guys don't know what they mean. Now, this is the Gemara talk when I say this. Eh? You guys don't know what they mean. But this brilliant woman, she does know what they mean. I mean, in order to be Makadosh, a woman, she has to know what you're talking about. So, in other words, you're asking what the din is, but meanwhile, this woman thinks the guy's crazy. Harayat Tzalti? Hello? Zgurati? Cuckoo. I have no idea what's going on. So what are we talking about? We're talking about when this guy walks up out of the blue and he says to her, what a lovely rib. Be my rib. She probably thinks he's a cannibal. How does she know what he's talking about? And Ella, it must be that of course she does understand what he's talking about, but not because of the language, but because they were in the middle of a discussion. Either in the case of Gittin that we had before, she understands that this is the way he's presenting her again. Okay, but by the Kiddushin, they have been discussing Kiddushin. So now, when he says this, she says, oh, how romantic. But she knows what it is that he's saying, right? But the problem is that if that's the case, then the language is irrelevant. Because then the din is, as we're going to see later on, even if the guy wouldn't say anything, and he would just hand her a ring, it would have been Kiddushin. A person who is speaking about divorce, or speaking about marriage, and he goes and he answers the divorce, or he answers the ring, and he doesn't say what his intent is. Rabbi Yossi Omer Dayo. Rabbi Yossi says, that's sufficient. We don't need more than that. Rav Yehuda Omer Tzorech Lefarish. And Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel said, the halacha is like Rav Yossi. So if that's the case, you don't need to say anything. So why are we discussing something that's completely irrelevant? The case over here is Liolam B'medamerima Aliskei Tavik Yidusha. Obviously, she needs to understand it. So it is talking about that he had spoken about it. Had he handed the ring over, it would have been fine. She would have known what it was. But when he starts talking to her about being his rib, she suddenly gets, what? Maybe that's not Kiddushin. And even if she understands it, maybe the language is insufficient legally. He now destroys the assumptions that we had because he's using the wrong language to affect Kiddushin. That's what our question is. Is this a contradiction to the meaning of Kiddushin, or is it viable as an actual language of Kiddushin? So, after speaking to her about Kiddushin, he answers the ring, and then he says one of these weird things. What we're asking is, do these things imply Kiddushin? Can they be taken in some other sense? Perhaps, he says, you shall be my helpmate. I expect you to do the floors and iron it. And maybe that's what he's saying. Who say wants Kiddushin? Take them. So about all the others that we can bring a riot to, we indeed are misupak about that.
We're actually asking if these words are against Kiddushin or not.
Right.
Because Kiddushin is existing, and these words, we're asking if these words...
We would have had a Kiddushin, and now he's canceling it.
Canceling it.
Yeah.
Right. So we're not actually asking these words...
Now, I was thinking about marrying you, but it looks to me like you would do better just doing the ironing all day. Well, it's usually like that. Gufa. Let's get to that sugya itself. This is the case. He's speaking about get, speaking about kedushin, and v'natan la gita or kedushin v'lo piresh. He said before, Rabbi Yosi Amar Dayo, we need no more than that. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Tzorach Lafarish. So now it comes on Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel v'husha sukim bo to inyan. It's got to be talking about over here when Rabbi Yosi says that's sufficient. Is that not one time they had spoken about it? It's that they are speaking about it. It's only if, at the time that he hands it over to her, that is when they had been speaking. Not that they at one point had been speaking a half an hour ago, and then they watched the TV program, and now he says to her, and now he hands her over a ring. Rabbi Omer, it says the Gemara Ketanoi. Actually, there's a machlokes tanoim about this issue. Because Rabbi Omer, v'husha asukim bo to inyan. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afapi she'in asukim bo to inyan. It's talking about not necessarily that they had to be talking about it mashma at all. It's not at all. So then how is she supposed to understand that the ring is meant for kedushin? And maybe the ring is meant, you're so lovely, I'd like you to have this ring. I mean, Omar Abaya, because it doesn't mean that they're not talking about it at all. They had spoken about it at the beginning of the evening. And then they started talking about other things. So it was mi'inyan le'inyan, and mi'inyan le'inyan, not to speak about other things that were unrelated, but mi'inyan le'inyan bo to inyan. So as I say, originally it's spoken about kedushin. And then they started talking about halls for marriages, what type of hall she likes, and so on. So the past five hours they've been arguing about halls. And then he gives her a ring. So that's considered to be also sufficient, even though they weren't literally talking about kedushin at the time of the Mesira. Omer Avuna, Omer Shmuel Halachak Rabbi Yosi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yosi in this thing, so that it's enough if he hands over a ring and he doesn't explain it, and they were dealing with the issue, then that's considered to be sufficient. There's a machlokas we showed him about whether this last thing is a machlokas that exists separately from the machlokas of Rabbi Yosi, or it's a machlokas in Rabbi Yosi. So in other words, when we said that Rabbi Yosi said it's dayo, is it enough dayo even if it's me'inyan le'inyan bo'to inyan? Or that no, he was only talking about literally ad hasof bo'to inyan. The tanoi was not going on the original machlokas, tanoi was going on the understanding of Rabbi Yosi. Okay, but in any event, I think that the way to understand the next piece is like this. If you find it necessary to paskin like Rabbi Yosi in something which is not a very common thing, I would have thought, for a guy just to hand over a ring and not to say anything, then the implication is that this is the type of situation that you have to be prepared for l'halakha. If you tell me, okay, this is the halakha you have to know. So if that's the case, I want to know the Ella. Hadi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the famous mimer of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, where he says, someone who is not a buck in the dinim of Gittin and Kedushin should keep well away from them. Because boy, can you get screwed over. The slightest mistake, and you just gave a get, it was possible, because some ridiculous thing you'd never even think of in a million years, you ended up being Matur and Eishes Tish La'olam. You're going to, 20 years later, the little Mamzerim are going to have you on their targets. And just stay away. If you don't know everything about it, just don't have anything to do with it. So what I want to know is, are you saying that this is the type of situation which also needs to be included? Unless you're going to give a bechina to somebody, or you know that you want to inform someone of all of the dinim, you're training him in getting the kedushin. Is this psak part of it? Even something like this? What the din would be if somebody would give without, whether it has to be me'inyan v'otonyan and all of that? So afilo lo shmiel ha'yadu Rav Huna Amar Shmuel? Is it even if I don't know the details about Rav Huna Amar Shmuel, paskins like Rav Yosi, is that also called that I'm insufficiently trained? That's exactly what I'm saying. What's so weird about that? Ein achinami. If I'm telling you that we need to paskin it, then I'm telling you that it's something that comes up. I don't care if it's once every 10 years, but that's enough for a dayan to have to be an absolute baki. What would the halacha be in such a case? Obviously we can't, there's no such thing as covering every possible case, right? That's the whole point of Torah Shabbat. So when you make a statement like, someone who doesn't know everything there is to know about getting the kedusha should just stay well away. What do you mean everything there is to know? You can't know everything there is to know. Right? I mean, that's why we have a Torah Shabbat Peh, because there is no way to in advance figure out all of the possibilities. So I mean, here you're bringing like this point that seems to me to be, I mean, it's interesting, but it doesn't seem to be a very practical problem. So, did you mean to include this also? And he says, Einochinami. This, I do mean to include, which is why I was giving up Zaka Locha. Right? So, it makes sense when you see it in that fashion. The Chaim Begerishin, same thing with Bichuan Gerishin, Natan Laget, Natan Lagita, Vamala Reat Meshulachat, Reat Megureshet, Reat Muterat, Acholat Amarei Megureshet, we said before. Now, look. It's clear that Pshita, Natan Lagita, Vamala Lishtar, Reat Bat Korin. If a man gives a get to a woman, and he says to her, you are hereby a free woman. Lo Amar Velo Klum. That's ridiculous, because a woman was always free. You don't own a woman that she's not a Bat Chorin. That's the language that you say to an Eved, that you say to a Shifcha. If you want to give a Get Shikur, you say, Areyat Bat Chorin. To say such a thing to an independent woman that happens to be your wife is outrageous. It doesn't mean anything. So Lo Amar Velo Klum. It's just, this guy is obviously a misogynist. He's a nut. What do you mean you're a Bat Chorin? What else was she? Omar La, the Shifchato. Furthermore, if he says to his Shifcha, Hareat Muteret Lechol Adam, as a Get Shichrur, that's also ridiculous. What do you mean she's Muteret Lechol Adam? I mean, if he's coming to address her status of Heter to get married, she certainly is not Muteret Lechol Adam. Until now she was Muteret to Avadim, and now she's a Surah to Avadim. So it couldn't mean that either. Therefore, she's ridiculous. So this guy's got the wrong thoughts in his mind about buying a shifcha, let me tell you. I mean, the white slave trade is not exactly what we're talking about over here when you're giving a get shichrur. Therefore, it's not lama v'lo klum. My question is, amar lo leishto, how about if he says to his wife, hareat la'atzmech, you are on your own. What's he talking about? Does he mean mi'amrinulim lachaka amala? Is he saying, look, from now on your own, you keep your own salary. I'm not going to give you mizanos. You don't give me a salary. Let's have separate accounts. Which is fine. It's a perfectly valid relationship. And we've had before many times that a woman can say, that's the relationship I want. I don't want you to be mefarnes me. I want to live on my own salary. So then, of course, it would not be a lashon of gerushin. Or does the word you're on your own mean totally? We don't have any relationship is what you're saying. I can prove that one. Tashma from the following bright to the Tanya. Gufosh get shichrur. If you're writing out a get shichrur to an Eved, so what you write is Hare Ata Ben Chorin, or Hare Ata La'atzbucha, you're on your own. Now look, if you're telling me, Hashka, my Eved Kedani, to Kanele Gufak Yomale, or Ata La'atzbucha, the Gamrika Omale, where over there you actually own his actual self. It's an Eved Kedani that we're talking about over here. And nonetheless, when you say you're on your own, it's viewed as relinquishing any and all kinyonim that you had, even a kinyon aguf. It's not understood as saying, well, you know what, don't work for me anymore. Right now I want you to spend your time making sure that you can support yourself. That's not what it means. It means we're finished, you're a free man. So then, I mean, a woman where an isha de lo kanyon agufa, where you don't have any possession of her body, well, certainly that means it's meant to be interpreted in the broadest possible sense that you are completely on your own in terms of marriage as well. Okay, how about a language like this to an Eved? I have no longer have any business with you. So what does that mean? I have no business. So my, does he mean, look, I don't see any legal connections between us whatsoever, in which case he's giving him back his ownership on himself? Or do we say, he's saying, I don't have any business with you, meaning, just go take care of yourself. You do such a lousy job anyway. I don't want you working in my house. I have to keep cleaning up everything you do after I double the work. So maybe that's all he's saying. Some say it was Rav Chani Mechuzal Rav Ashi. We just had this, by the way, recently in Gittin, so you remember it. Remember the deal is over there. Somebody sells an Eved to a goy, so there's a knas b'rabbanan that he has to. He's free, and not only that, you have to go and you have to buy him back and free him. Terrible thing, you know. You pay 10 times what you made for him because since you were over and selling him to someone who's going to prevent him from doing mitzvahs, so therefore you have to buy him back. But the din over there is that even though that's the case, he was yotzal cheres, he still needs to get shichrur. So he get shichrur mirabo rishon. He needs from the original owner, the Jew. He needs to get shichrur. The reason for that is that when you sell, you can only sell to a Jew and have the Jew take over the kinyan on the goof of the Eved. But when you sell to an Akum, the Torah never gave rights to one nation to own members of another nation. So there's no concept of slavery in the Torah that was given to non-Jews, because they're all viewed as being on the same level. There is an ownership of the work. So in other words, you can create liens on a person or through acts of war, the kona vis-a-vis demanding that they do the work for you, but you don't own them. So that means that the ownership still remains with the original Jew. And all that he sold when he sold to an akum was he sold the rights to the works of the person that he owns. So therefore you need to write a get shikur. Okay, this so far is just introductory. It doesn't address our issue. But here's the piece that does address our issue. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Bamed dvarim amurim, where do we say that we force the guy to write out a get shikur? That's only shalo katav alav ono. That's where he didn't write the shtar of that's called an on. What that means is that where a guy sells an ebed against, remember, because an ebed is a sentient being, there's always the chashash that he'll run away from the new guy, come back to the old guy, and then the new guy is out in heaven. This could always happen. So what they would do is they would write a contract. They would write a contract, which is the actual shichrur. Now, the Gemara explains what it does it say in that contract. Hechidami ono. Omer of Sheshes, the katav, like what he writes is, that if you run away from that guy, ein li esek b'cha, I have no business with you. Which means that I have no business with you is the equivalent of a get shikur. That's what you're saying. Because if you're saying, if he wrote those words to the abbot, then the abbot is essentially freed. And you no longer need a get shikur mirabo arishon. So clearly there's your answer. Ein li esek b'cha means a complete cutoff of a relationship with an abbot, and therefore he goes out to Harris. If somebody is mekadesh a woman with a loan, we're going to see what that means, then it's not kedusha. But if he's mekadesh a woman with the pleasure of a loan, we're going to see what that means, then she is mekudeshet. However, it's prohibited to do that. Because it looks like you are figuring out a way to get around the laws of ribit. So it's like one of these tax, what do they call them?
A loophole.
It's like a scheme. All right, so now we're going to analyze what precisely happened here so that we can recognize what the milva is. Hai hana'at milva, hechidami. So now we're assuming now that the case over here is a man had given a loan to a woman, let's say 5 years before, and now he comes to her later on, and he says to her that I want to be mekadesh you with that loan that I've already given you. So then it's not mekudeshes, because since in the same way when I learn out kicha kicha mistei afron, he says here's the money, take it from me. So the milva that he had given her is no longer there, because even if it's physically there, that's irrelevant. When you hand over money to somebody as a loan, then that money is the other person's money. They go to the store, they use that. You can't suddenly come back, even 2 minutes later, and say, hey, you know what? How about that money I gave to you? You take that to be married to me. What money? That's my money. So that's the portion of meaning of the milva, now, mekadesh b'milva. Then what would be bahana'at milva? That would be mekudesha. Say chidami. Ilema de azkefa. Is it talking about that basically what he did over here is that he had originally asked for more money so that he had an interest payment that was due. And now he wants to use the interest payment, which is not the same as the milva, as the kiddushin. So in other words, let's say initially the amala arba b'chamisha. He gave her, let's say, 4,000 rand. He wants back 5,000 rand. And then he says, okay, you know what? Let's make it 4,000 rand. Keep the additional 1,000 and be my wife. What do you mean? That's real ribit. That is interest. That's not a loophole. That's not usher to do that because you're fooling around with the rules of interest. That's pure interest. You defined it up front. 5 for 4, classic ribit, and now you're taking that additional 1,000 and you're using it to be makadisher. So why would that be okay? Not to mention the fact that it doesn't do any good, even if it wouldn't be usher, and even that wouldn't be the problem. Why is that any different than the milva itself? The od, hainu milva. In other words, the extra 1,000 also is not something that he's giving her now. That was something that she had agreed to pay back initially at the time of the loan, and it had nothing to do with the kedushin at that moment. So why is that better than being mekadesh with the milva? Lo tzricha, the case therefore must be that when it says over here ba'ana'at milva, what he did was the arvach la zimna. What he did was he said to her, look, what would you pay for somebody to talk me into letting you keep that loan for another year. Hmm? How about if you don't pay that and instead be my wife? So now over a year he hasn't given really any monetary value on what it is that he's doing with this kedushin. And he certainly didn't specify it up front. And therefore, it lacks in those two primary considerations of interest. A, interest with your right has to be defined initially. I'm lending you X and I expect X plus Y. If you don't do it that way and you subsequently add something, that may be rebate, but it's only rebate to Rabbanan. But in this case, it's not even rebate to Rabbanan because there was no specific value that was attached to it. All you said was, look, it's certainly worth something to you, right? So whatever that something is, be my wife. So since it remains undefined entirely, it's a loophole in rebate. Tosef says, no, not a loophole in rebate. That would be usher. That would be the simple case of rebate to Rabbanan. Why? Because you're still, what you're doing essentially is, says Tosfos, is you're defining that value as a pruta. It may be more, but whatever. But you're saying, this is a pruta. Now we translated it to the pruta, now the woman is mitkudeshet for that pruta. So I don't care whether you define it precisely. So therefore you've got a real case of ribit derabanan. Says Tosfos, Rashi is wrong about his understanding of the sugya. What it's talking about over here is that somebody else had lent you the money. This man comes along now. And now what he's doing is he's saying, okay, how about if I get an extension on that loan for you? Now he's not getting any money out of it. And she says, okay, that'd be great. If you get me an extension on the loan, that's worth money to me. So therefore, I'll be Mekudeshet to you. Sure, I will gladly do that. So there it's usher to do that only because of a Gezerah, because it looks like he's the guy that's actually making a loan for her because she's getting that money for a year. So because of that, we answered it. But it certainly is not, it can't be rebate because he had never made the loan in the first place.
What if the way he's extending it is just by speaking about it and not actually exchanging any money to the garbage
judge? He didn't exchange. Okay. That's all he did.
He just knows the connection.
The service is worth money to her.
I'll speak to the guy.
So anything that's worth money. Exactly. But that hana'ah is itself a monetary valued service. And you can be Mekadesh and Isha with Shaveh Kesef. So a service is Shaveh Kesef. Who says that Shaveh Kesef has to have a physical presence? And therefore, it's a proper Kedushin. Because there seems to be, a fascinating machlokas over here. Because according to Rashi, it's the fact that the woman has given herself over for this thing. The Kiddushin, this is a subtle point, but the Kiddushin, according to Rashi, is not valued by money. Remember we had the whole discussion at the beginning of the Masechet about what precisely is the function of the value element in the Kiddushin. Is it part of the formalization, the act of Kinyan? Or is it the fact that the woman herself has to feel that there was accrued benefit to her? Right? That question up front. So that was the analysis of the language in the Mishnah. How do we use this as kinyan? Or that was the question that came up when a father accepts kedusha, whether she could get the money or he gets the money. Those were the type of issues that were involved. What Rashi seems to be saying is, despite the fact that there needs to be the worth of a pruta, that is part of the kinyan, but over here, the kinyan was not something that needed to be evaluated at all. It's simply the fact that I have hana'ah. Fine. So what is the ribit? The fact that I'm married to you? Marriage isn't money. Marriage isn't value. Marriage is a relationship. So how would that come under the general rubric of interest, which has to do with things that we talk about putting value on? Whereas Tosfos learns, no, that's not true. There needs to be an actual exchange of value to create the kedushin, and it's part of the nature of the relationship. So that money, that pruta, you got. Because in effect, the kedushin that you have is that pruta. Therefore, you got paid. But I never saw that pruta. Of course you did. You have a wife in your house. That wife is that pruta. Therefore, what good is it? That's not a loophole in rebate. There's no loophole here. That's real rebate. The wife is rebate. That's Tosis's approach. This is a subtle nakuna, but apparently it led us here to a completely different interpretation of the actual in the case.
I don't understand. How is the wife ribis? How is she becoming the ribis?
Because she represents the value that you got from
the pruta or the $1 million that was worth the extension of the loan, whatever the case may be, but it's at least a shavar pruta. In exchange for that shavar pruta, you have a woman in your house. That woman represents that pruta. So you were given something in exchange for a loan.
Yes, so
that's ribbit. You got additional value for a loan. Whereas Rashi is saying you didn't get value for a loan, for heaven's sakes. The woman is not value.
No, but you said according to Tosfot, somebody else gave the money. So I don't get the ribbit.
No, that's true. You know, that's exactly why Tosfot rejects Rashi. That's the point. Tosfot is saying in Rashi's case it would be ribbit. I need to come up with a case where it wouldn't be ribbit. The only way it wouldn't be ribbit is where I'm extending a loan that was given by some other party. Okay, so then it wouldn't be ribbit. That's the point. Okay? Fascinating machlokes. Now, Omar Rav, by the way, I mean, Tosfos is bothered by the fact, so if this is what we're talking about, the way I'm understanding it, if they spoke to somebody else, you might just as well have spoken about, why did you say that he made it a longer time? He could have said, I spoke to somebody else to give you one. Nothing to do with longer time. So when you say, when you're contrasting a Mekadesh B'milva or a Mekadesh with the fact that I talked somebody into giving you a milva, it would be exactly the same thing. Right?
Not,
it would be exactly the same thing. So Tosfos, it would be. Absolutely it would be. But since the Gemara started talking about Mekadesh B'milva, the meaning of that term Mekadesh B'milva is an extant loan. There is a loan. You get Mekadesh B'milva, there never was a loan. There is a loan. Okay, so now what does it mean when you say Ba'anat Milva? Something that I'm doing with that loan. So that would mean somebody else made the loan, and now the service that I'm giving you is that you get to keep 100 million rand for a month. That's worth a heck of a lot of money. So because of that, you're going to be accepting the condition from me. Right? Okay. Omar Rava, Halech Mona Amanacha Takzireuli, if somebody gives now 100 rand, and he says, okay, I'm giving this to you on condition that you give it back to me. So Bimmecher Lokana, he wants to buy a field in that fashion, it's not a good kinyan. Bi'isha in Amakudeshet, he wants to give kedushin, okay, here's a ring, but you got to give it back after the ceremony, I can't afford this ring. So it's basically a matana manat lachzir. It's all, you know, it's all done for the papers anyway. So, but that's not a good kedushin. But pinyan aben, you say to the kohen, okay, here is the chamisha shkolim, I want them back after the ceremony. Right? So that's not a good pinyan aben. But when it comes to truma, and you give a kohen the truma from your produce, and you say, no, I'm giving you this truma, but you got to give it back to me, that's good. Yatsaya de netina, that's considered to be an act of giving, but you're not allowed to do that. Why are you not allowed to do that? Because technically it's fine. You're not allowed to do it because you had to have been in cahoots with the kohen. In other words, you're going to have to find a kohen that's willing to take truma in that fashion, right? I mean, any other kohen will tell you, drop dead and walk away. So this guy apparently is interested in being in your good favor. So he says, fine. So he's going to help you find a loophole around losing money from giving truma. Ah, the problem is that a kohen who is in any way involved with the person who's giving him truma in such a way as to encourage that person to give the truma specifically to that kohen is considered to be a terrible mechala l'takodesh, and that's the first level of corruption, right? Yeah, technically you can give it to me, but, I mean, you're giving it to me because, you know, we have a lot of other understandings. That's always doing business in third world countries. So now the kohen cannot be a third world kohen. That's called kohen misayeh mibet agranot. So what the kohanim would do is they would come a few days before and for the threshing and the winnowing, you know. Oh, you're still, let me give you a hand. So obviously after the guy gives you a hand for 3 days, he's going to be the one who gets the truma. So because of that, we prohibited a kohen misayeh mibet. And this guy looks like a kohen misayeh mibet agranot because that's what it boils down to. He's giving him value for his truma. I understand. But I mean, what does Rava hold? Maikasava Rava, he's giving me an inconsistent psak. Ikasava matana manat lakshishma matana. Does Rava hold that if you give a gift with a condition, the condition being you have to give the gift back, that that's nonetheless considered to be a gift? So then, in all of the cases, it should be fine. Whether it's purchasing a field or whether it's being Makadish and Isham, why only the case of Truma? And if he holds, Ikasava lakshma matana, if he holds it's not a good gift, so then I feel a Truma namilo. So then truma is not considered to be given either. Not to mention the fact that, for heaven's sakes, it was Rava who is the author of the halacha that matana manat lachzir is considered to be a good gift. And the condition is viewed as any other condition. Same way you say, I'm giving you this gift on condition that you go to the bank for me. I'm giving you this gift on condition you give it back to me. It's exactly the same thing. It's a perfectly kosher gift. Where do we find that? tomorrow morning. The Omer of the Halach Etrog Zeh Amanat Shetach Zireoli. Here's an Etrog. You can use my Etrog, but only HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it back to me. The truth is, tomorrow morning we don't need Lachem. But the first day, it would have to be Lachem, right?
But is the gift not the use of the article for a certain period of time?
No. A gift can only be the article. But over here, the article would need to be returned. But that's fine. During the time that I had the gift, it's mine. As long as ultimately I return it, I see it as having been mine during that period. So he's the one who says it's good, darn it. So not of yichziro yatsa. But if he never gives it back, v'im lav lo yatsa. So how in the world could Rava come off saying that it's not good mecher, not good kedushin, if matana manatlach is a perfectly good matana? And legally speaking, it's a valid gift. So if it's good enough for etrog, it should be good enough for isha. Some people spend a lot more time on the etrog selection than they do on the isha selection. That's true. Elo Amar Ravashi, therefore, says Ravashi, Bikulu Kani. Actually, the din would be, the only consistent din would be that in all the above cases it is a good Kenyan. The only case that it's not a good Kenyan is Levar Mi Isha, except for the case of the Mekadosh and Isha. Lefisha in Isha Niknet B'Chalipin. Over here you're giving the money and then you're expecting it back. That isn't really Chalipin. This is actual value and it's a real gift. And some indeed have the gears over it, they shanira. It looks like you're being Mekadosh B'Chalipin. Tosus has the same gears as we have, but he explains that that's what it means. It doesn't mean literally lav Chalipin, it's been Rabbanan. The Fisha Derech, Olam Lachzir Chalipin. Since normally Chalipin, when you give the guy the handkerchief, he gives it back to you. So this looks like Chalipin. In order to avoid the problem of Kedushin with Chalipin, the Rabbanan were unapproving of such Kedushin, and therefore the Rabbanan have a way of being Mafkiya Kedushin from you. Anybody who's Mekadosh Nisha, it's Kedat Moshe Yisrael. And the Rabbanan say, this is not Kedat Moshe Yisrael. And therefore you wouldn't be going to the Isha. But the other cases are fine. Omele Ravuna Marbre, the Rav Nachman, the Ravashi, that's brilliant. Because in fact, Dr. Aminu Shmita Rava, we have a Kabbalah from Rava, they say over, Kavatech, exactly the way you understood the halacha over here. Not like it was initially quoted from Rava. Very good. Sure.